We've got a starting point and a thought upon our mind that we've had upon our heart and mind for several weeks, as far as just a thought. Actually began at one point to be a pastor's pen in the bulletin several weeks ago, and I just didn't feel impressed to God to send it, and thought, well, the Lord probably wants to preach on it sometime. And chapter 5 of Galatians, you know this chapter, we preached from it, preached out of it. But I'm interested in verse 13. I think it would do us good tonight just to read these verses. I was just going to read verse 13, but let's read these verses. Starting with verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." And as a cross-reference to that verse, you ought to write down James 2 and verse number 10 beside that verse, if your Bible doesn't have a reference to that verse. You can read it and you can understand why you need to have that as a cross-reference to support what Paul is saying in this verse, James 2:10. Verse number 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you," in our text verse. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Let's read on. There's nothing I could say that would certainly improve or be better than what God's Word says. Because we need to see what the wording is and what God is saying on further down. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you buy and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past." Well, Paul's saying, you know what? My message has not changed. Paul said, "I've told you before, and I'm fixing to tell you again the same thing." Amen. Boy, I want to be a preacher like that does not change. Amen. Well, I got one amen. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Appreciate that. But he said, "And the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We referenced that passage, similar passage in 1 Corinthians 6 this morning that made a similar statement. Verse 22, but showing contrast to the works of the flesh listed, verse 19, 20, and 21, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Talking about a verse to identify true believers, I just read it. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's amazing right there how there's a connection between living and walking. If you live in the Spirit, that is, you have that life, then there ought to be that activity of walking in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Back up in verse number 13, I want to read the verse again. I would have shared the thought the Lord laid on her heart. Verse 13, the Bible says, for brethren, so we know who He's talking to, for brethren ye have been called unto liberty, and liberty is the theme of the book of Galatians. In fact, chapter 5, verse 1 is the key verse to the whole book of Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the whole summary verse of the whole book. Because the Judaizers had attacked the church, probably in Paul's absence, and trying to pull them away from the teachings of grace and faith and Christ's sufficiency, and pull them back under the law, telling them, you've got to keep the law. But he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Here's the statement that got my attention. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Notice that. Do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. There are two words that I want to use as my title tonight that'll be a part of your life every day of your life. These two words will battle one against the other, fight one against the other for dominance in your life. Every time you get up in the morning, these two words are going to get up with you. As you go through the day and there's trials and temptations and difficulties and choices all in your life, these two words are going to be battling for your attention. These two words identify choices in our life that we make every day. There's not a third option, there's only two. These two words, my friend, are very important. And they're both attached to the word liberty. We've been given liberty. We have liberty in Christ. We've been called to liberty. But I want to say this tonight. Liberty is not a license for looseness. Amen. That's right. That's what Paul was saying. Do not use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Amen. And so I want to preach on this subject tonight. Could or should? On both sides of the word liberty, you'll find that's what's being discussed. What I could do versus what I should do. So every time that you are in a situation in life, whether it be at work or at home or at church or wherever, like I said, they're all the time, there's going to be a could and should choice to make. It's not what I could do. But it's what I should do that should dominate our life. Well, you could go from Genesis all the way through and find example after example after example that did what they could. But it wasn't what they should. Adam and Eve did what they could do.
Would you not agree? They had freedom. They were not supposed to eat of that, but they could do it. There wasn't no chains on to keep them from partaking of that forbidden tree. There wasn't no chain. They could do that, but was that what they should do? No. They did what they could, not what they should. Cain, he could kill Abel, and he did. But we all know that's not what he should have done. Amen. David committed sin with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah put to death. Amen. And all of those things he could do and did do, but it wasn't what he should have done. Are you listening? And on, I mean, there's example on top of examples throughout the Scripture where you can find where people did what they could. They had liberty, if you will. And they did what they could, but it wasn't what they should have done. I believe God wants to drive home this in my heart and yours to where that when we are faced with an option, when we're faced with a temptation, when we're faced with a trial, we will think, all right, could I do this? Or should I do this? Amen? And think about that. Amen? I believe it'll help you if you'll think about those two words every time you're faced with a trial and a temptation and a difficulty. Think about should I or could I or should I? Amen? And the answer to the first one's always going to be yes. If you say could I do this, the answer's probably always going to be yes. You're like, well, yeah, I could do that. It may not be right, but I could do it. Probably nobody going to be standing over your shoulder to keep you from doing it. That don't mean it's right. When you ask yourself, should I do something, then you should have some guidelines in your life as to determine whether you should or shouldn't. And there's a lot of those things that we could do. But the word liberty in the text has the idea that you can do or not do. It has the idea of you can omit things or you can commit things. You have liberty, but you don't have liberty to do wrong. You have liberty in Christ. You have liberty as a believer, but not liberty to sin. I want to read another verse of Scripture. You can hold your place right there. And if you're taking notes, you'd at least make a reference here to 1 Peter chapter 2. He's writing to believers because he addressed them in verse 11 as dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And why would he tell him to abstain if there wasn't a could or should option there? Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now skip down, if you will, verse 16. He's still talking to believers. Look what he said. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. The word cloak has the idea of a covering. Do not use your liberty for a covering or to hide or to veil maliciousness. And the word maliciousness has several meanings. One, ill will, evil, badness, or wickedness. Do not use your liberty as a covering or a hiding or a veiling of your wickedness. Now why would he write to believers about that? Because he knows that inside of a believer every day of your life there's that could and should option in your life, and he's trying to tell us, don't do it. Don't use your freedom for an occasion of the flesh, as he talked about in our text chapter. The Epistle of Jude, listen to this verse. Jude is exposing these church creeps. Amen. There's creeps in the church. And here's what he says in verse 3, which is the key to this small book, beloved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. I told you there was creeps in the church. There were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning, watch this, here's similar thought of what we've read in Galatians and 1 Peter 2. He said they are going to come in and they're going to be turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Everybody like that word? That word lasciviousness means turning the grace of God into a license to sin. In other words, take the grace of God, my friend, and work it to where it will benefit the flesh. Amen. I heard a preacher today make the statement, and pastor's an extremely large church, and heard him make the statement, I mean, a very carnal, very worldly church, and he's a preaching hard on we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Oh, and I mean, he was hammering, and I thought, my soul, what do you think being of the world is? Amen. But anyway, I just want to drive home the thought of could or should. You'll have that option every time. It's a choice that you need to make. Let me just look at it in a different way. Could speaks of opportunity. Should speaks of responsibility. Could speaks of liberty. Should speaks of love. Doing right because you love God. Could speaks of what may be wrong. Should speaks of what will be right. Could speaks of potential. Should speaks of priority. In other words, doing what I should will always take priority over any potential of doing the could category, what I could do. Could speaks of the flesh. What I could do many times is going to be based on the flesh. And Paul even used that in Galatians 5:13 when he said, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Amen. Anytime you turn away from what you should do, it's because you're interested in doing something that's going to soothe, gratify the flesh. That's why I say again, and I'm going to show you it's in the passage here, but the could subject, what I could do is most of the time a flesh issue. Whereas what I should do is a spirit issue. Now notice, if you will, in Galatians 5, I'll just further verify that truth. Notice he goes right out of verse 13 talking about use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Comes right down into verse 16 and he begins to show both sides. And he does so throughout the rest of the chapter. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's showing right there what I could do could be categorized, Brother Craig, as lust of the flesh. But what I should do is could be categorized right here as walking in the Spirit. Now notice this. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Because many times what I could do is an opponent and is a contrast to what I should do. Many times. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then I read it earlier. I'll not reread it. But verse 19, 20, and 21, he talks about the works of the flesh. You say, preacher, that works of the flesh list has got some wicked things in it. Yeah, and that's everything you could do. You say, I don't know about me, preacher. I go to Rogersville Baptist Temple. It don't matter. It don't matter if you've got flesh and you're still of the flesh. By the way, I just don't let you know you are. Amen. Because you're still here. Amen. This flesh is not saved, is the best way I can word it, put it simply. Our old flesh nature is not saved. But notice he goes right into verse 19, 20, and 21, and he gives a list of what is the works of the flesh, and all of these things are what I could do, but would you not agree? None of them is what I should do. And then he goes right out of the works of the flesh into verse 22, 23, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I should do. Amen. That's what I should do. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So he's showing us here what we could do and what we should do is a flesh and spirit issue. Amen. If you come into a decision where and choices are going to be a part of your life, they're going to be a part of your life. Right. You're going to be faced with decisions and choices every day of your life. But when you come to the decision as you face the crossroads of an option, and you ask yourself, what could I do versus what I should do, then automatically, if you give any consideration to what you could do, then you're being controlled by the flesh. You're being controlled by the flesh. Amen. What you could do. Amen. Now I want to tell you, dear friend, when God saves you, He does not put handcuffs on you. He does not put chains on you. Though most of God's people act like it. They act like they're in bondage. They act like that there's no liberty. They act like there's no freedom. That God's people are just a bunch of people that can't do nothing but go to church. Are you listening? But really, it's a flesh and a spirit issue. If you're being led by the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, as these verses, my friend, indicate, you know what you're going to be interested in? You're going to be interested in what you should do.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? Amen? What you should do will be that which the Spirit of God could bless. Amen. Right. What you could do will be what your flesh will feed on, most likely.
Right.
Amen. So they're just the could or should subject we're looking at tonight. Paul said not to use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. That word occasion simply means a starting point. The word occasion means an opportunity. Use not your liberty as a starting point or an opportunity or a base of operation. Amen. Use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh or to the flesh. Amen. To the flesh is the way it's worded. Well, what we should do should be the dominating force, but how many times has it not been? And I want to say this, being saved 28 years, every time you have the option of a could or should, you are aware of both. When you are faced with what I could do, you also are aware of what you should do. It's not ever going to be just a one-option situation. There's always going to be the could and should that's going to be with you every step of your life. When you get up, do you lay down at night? Amen. I mean, listen, the could and should goes into your thought life. The could and should goes into your verbal, your mouth, your speaking. It goes into your habits. It goes into everything. What you could do versus what you should do. Amen. So you know. It's not that you're in ignorance. It's not that we're in ignorance. When we're faced with a could and should situation, we know both. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, just like in the Bible, when people did the could versus the should. They went into it with their eyes opened. They knew when they were doing what they could, they knew at that moment that they had made a choice to not do what they should. Amen. Amen. Now I know this is elementary, but would not choosing the should versus over the could, would that not have kept most of us out of a whole lot of problems?
Amen.
Are you listening? You young people, you could fall in love with any, you young girls, you could fall in love with any boy that comes by. You could. That's why you ought to watch yourself, my friend, when you like somebody or whatever, that you, when you start spending time with them on the phone or whatever, you'll start developing feelings for them. You'll start developing feelings for them, and I want to tell you, those feelings will get so strong at one point, if you don't harness it, that those feelings will get so strong to where you'll go and you will go after that girl or that boy or whatever the case is. You'll go after that person regardless if you know if it's what you should do or not.
Right.
Are you listening? I was in South Carolina preaching a funeral Friday and come back around through and saw my brother and was informed of a girl 20 years old that went to school with my brother's girl, graduated with her, hung herself. Guess where she hung herself at? In a tree in her boyfriend's yard. Now I'm going to tell you right now, there's one thing about loving somebody, but brother, when you think, if I can't have them, I don't want to live, you are stupid. If I can't have them, if they don't want me, I'll just go out in the yard and hang myself. You are ignorant.
Amen.
There's nobody, my friend, worth doing something stupid like that. And there's a 20-year-old girl. Her life is over, and from what I can gather, more than likely in hell. Are you listening? Because that she let her love and her feelings get so strong that they dominated even good sense.
Right.
Would you not agree hanging yourself in a tree is not good sense?
Right.
Especially over a stupid boy.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. There's been people, my friend, that fell in love with another, and all of a sudden there was a third party involved, and then one killed the other and went and spent their life in prison.
Right.
Well, Bob, that ain't good sense. They didn't get the girl that killed her boyfriend, the one that she was liking, and now he's behind bars the rest of his life, and she's still out there roaming around. Hey, I want to tell you, if you're not careful, your affections and your feelings will get so in control of your life. And I don't know why I'm preaching this, but it'll get so in control of your life that you won't even make good judgment calls. You'll make some stupid, ignorant, my friend, regretful choices in your life because you'll be faced with a could instead of listening to what you should do, you'll do just what you could do. Are you listening? God help us. And I drove by on the way home, the church, when they were having the funeral, and I never seen such a pile of young people going in that church. I don't believe the church could have held the crowd that was even just in the parking lot. Sad, isn't it? Well, I got on that. But I'm telling you, this could and should is not just a small subject. It affects every area of your life. Facing careers, you could select from a number of hundreds of possibilities. But I think it'd be wise on my part as a pastor to preach and advise you that you need to be praying and getting some leadership from God, not over what you could do, and what a lot of those things you could do may not be nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, but it may not be what you should do. Amen. When you've got leadership from God, in fact, even in the text it said that if you be led of the Spirit, oh, if you've got leadership of the Spirit, that's beyond, that's superior to what you could do. That's what you should do.
That's right.
Amen. Wait on God. Talk about dating and marriage and all that. Wait on God gives you somebody.
That's right.
It's not what you could get.
Right.
Amen. There was a time when girls was, you know, this kind of shy. But it ain't that way now. They'll chase the boys.
Right.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. And me and the parents of any such young person in this building are going to team up on you. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's not even good sense for a girl to chase after a boy.
Amen.
You should never be the aggressor. Amen. Till after you get married. I figured every husband in the house would say amen right there. Amen. Brother Simon's going to get a tape taken on with me. Amen. He'll go and say, honey, you could listen to this, but you should listen to this. Amen. 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 Well, Lord help us. Amen. But anyway, let me just give you some things here quickly. Amen. Well, what are some guidelines? And I'm just going to throw some of these out and you consider them. I mean, there's a lot that I could deal with just on this one subject. In fact, it's the whole context. In fact, I started to build the message just on this particular point right here. And that is, verse number 7 shows us a little bit of what's going on. The could and should issue comes down to this question. Who is influencing me? Hello? Y'all still with the preacher tonight? Who is influencing me? In the same context that Paul wrote this verse 13, use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. He is dealing with a church, a local church, individuals that had been influenced by somebody they shouldn't have been influenced by, called the Judaizers. So really the could and should subject is going to come down to this. Who's influencing me? Say amen right there. It's not just a flesh and spirit issue. Which is influencing me? Which is in leadership? Which is in guidance? In the driver's seat? If I do the could, which nature is it going to satisfy? If I do the should category, which nature is it going to satisfy? But it's not just the flesh and spirit. It could be others involved influencing you. Amen? We adults, could we not go back in our mind and see where we blew it, where we failed, where we partook of sin, and it came down to a could and should issue, and many times we were swayed away from the should into the could by an influence. I believe this. I'm more of a firmer believer of this than I've ever been in my whole ministry. I believe the strongest tool of the devil is association.
Yes,
I believe it's the most powerful tool that the devil has got in his artillery, is if he can put a friend in your life, if he can put, my friend, an associate, somebody that you socialize with, my friend, that can influence you in the wrong direction. He can work wonders in your life.
Amen.
I believe that. Oh, yes, friend, what the devil cannot do or would have difficulty doing through various and other means, if he could put... Listen, I want to tell you, and I've preached in this pulpit, I can't tell you the times that I have saw young ladies and young boys go from the status of spiritual to carnal when romance got in the picture. Are you listening? I mean, all you have a heart for God, and they testify and everything. All of a sudden, there's love, amen. And next thing you know, they're all out of sorts. That ain't the right. That ain't the will of God. If any relationship you have that takes you away from spirituality, let me tell you, it is not of God. Period. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. If in the premarital stage or age that you listen, you can't retain your spirituality, then how are you going to do it when you're married? And you don't say bye, I'll see you on the weekend. You're there 24/7. And you'll be surprised how small them big houses will get. Because when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen. I'm telling you, that's right. Some of you men wouldn't dare say amen right there. But I'm talking about if you can't retain your spirituality when you're just kind of talking on the phone and just kind of liking each other, and all of a sudden you throw God out the window and you never read your Bible and pray. All you're interested in is love letters, amen, and love texting. Hey, I want to tell you, if you can't retain your spirituality when you're so-called, quote-unquote, dating, what are you going to do when you say, I do?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is not Brother Rob. This ain't my notes. It ain't even 100 miles from my notes. But I ain't interested in my notes. I'm interested in the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
I've told people, I don't know what the people I've told. I've told Amber and them. I've told them, listen, right now is the time when you need to establish a spiritual foundation. You don't wait till you get married. You don't wait till you say, I do. You build your relationship on a strong, firm foundation that's not physical, that is not emotional, but that is spiritual, amen. And build your house on the rock. And when the storms come after you say the I do's, and I promise you they will come, amen. You think, well, we'll never fuss. Well, you get married, you will. We've never had a cross word. Well, you get married and live in the same house and see. That's right. Amen. It's one thing to talk on the phone about 100 times a week, but it's another, buddy, when you're in a covenant relationship with each other, amen, and you're living in the same house. I might take a tape home with my wife tonight. Amen. But you got to build it on. Listen. Amen. You build a relationship. Now, how am I on all this? Well, that's in the could and should category. You build a relationship off of looks, that marriage will be weak and frail. That relationship will crumble when the wrinkle starts coming in.
Right. That's right.
And they will.
That's right.
But if you build that off of, if you build your relationship off of a spiritual basis, then looks is wonderful, but it's not the key.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Well, you didn't know you was coming on Sunday night for a marriage seminar, did you? Amen. Brother Mark was teaching this morning on forgiveness. I leaned up and told Miss Amber and Ian, I said, listen, I said, y'all getting some good marriage counseling right now. Say amen right there. God help us. Amen. Well, God is so good. Amen. Who's influencing you? Verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Look right here. Is another word that indicates influence. Look at verse 8. This persuasion. Hello? How many sees the word persuasion?
Amen.
This persuasion. Paul said, hey church, what's going on right here with y'all? You're turning away from the doctrines of grace and going under the law and all this business. Going away from the very things you've been taught. You know what's bringing this about? Persuasion. Somebody has persuaded you. Somebody's come in and influenced you.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, the word persuasion in verse 8, I got it in parentheses. When I see connecting opposites or whatever, I usually try to make that attention in my verse here. Persuasion is right the opposite to the word calleth you. God has called you, but He said the problem is somebody's persuaded you. Opposite to the one that's called you. You know when you should sever an influence? It's when it starts taking you away from the one that called you. But I love them. Do you like being backslid? Do you like to be on the judgment side, the chastening side of God? Well, no, but I love Him. You're talking ignorant. Amen. You're not talking out of your head.
Amen.
Last time I read the Scriptures on this subject, you're supposed to love Jesus more than husband, wife, family, mom and daddy, children. You're supposed to love Jesus more.
Yeah.
Amen. Be friendly and be a friend until that friendliness and being a friend starts taking you away from Jesus and away from church and away from the Bible and causing you to start losing spiritual levels. Then you need to draw the line and say, look, I love you, I want to be a friend, and you know, but I'm not strong enough to handle this relationship. Be responsible for your own spirituality. Y'all heard that in this pulpit before?
Amen.
Let me hurry. I've got to hurry. Lord, help us, Jesus. Let me show you another statement that shows influence. Look at verse 9. A little leaven. Notice the next word. Leaveneth the whole lump. I looked that definition up. And you know what it means for the word leaven? Leaveneth. The whole lump, here's what the dictionary said. By its influence, it thoroughly or throughly pervades and permeates and spreads throughout the whole lump. So just a little bit gets in, and through influence, permeates the whole thing. See, the devil's not wanting to fill your life through enormous sin. He just wants to put some just little leaven in your life. And leaven in the Bible is always a type of sin because he knows that the influence of sin in your life is that sin begets sin and sin loves company. And before you know it, your life's a wreck. Well, there's you something to think about. Who's influencing me? I'm just going to run through some of these. I've done preached all night. I'm tired. I was waiting on somebody to say, no, preach, preacher. Well, I didn't hear it. Heard one bless him, Jesus, and that's all I heard. And it sounded a little weak, but here's some things to consider when you're facing a could and should. Not only who's influenced me, but ask yourself, number two, ask yourself, is there any scriptures being violated? What scriptures am I going to have to sin against to do this? You'll not violate any scriptures in the should category. Number three or whatever it is, I just jotted just practical little thoughts to consider when you're faced with a would or should or a could or should at a situation. Ask yourself, which would Jesus do? I think that'd be good. Number four, ask yourself, how will my choice affect my testimony among others?
If others were to find out if I did what I could or what I should, how would they think about me far as my testimony is concerned? Number five, how will my choice affect my church? Amen. When you come in a service and it's dead, guess what? That's not from the Holy Spirit. And that didn't come through the should category. That come through the could category. Somebody through the week did what they could instead of what they should. Achan's another good example I just thought about in Joshua, was it 7? When Joshua led the people against Ai, Achan went in, not Ai, but Jericho. Achan went in and went in one of the tents, and there was a wedge of gold in the Babylonian garment, and he took it and went and hid it in his tent. He did what he could, but it wasn't what he should. And because he did what he could instead of what he should, it came home and bit him, I'm telling you, and his whole family died. Along with 36 men that died when they went to fight against little old small Ai, 36 men died because of Achan doing what he could instead of what he should. Because when he did what he could and not what he should, my friend, it affected the whole nation of Israel. God took his hand of victory off of them. They went against a little old small Ai, which should have just been a little old thump on the head victory. My friend, and Ai whipped them and 36 men died. Why? Because one man, when he was faced with a could or should opportunity, he did not do what he should. So, how will it affect my church? If you love your church, you'll try to make some wise choices. If you love yourself, you probably will not. Here's another one. This simple, basic, number 6 or whatever the number is. How will my choice affect my spirituality? Will it increase it or decrease it? Will it help it or hurt it? Here's another one. Who will be impressed or disappointed by my decision? You'd be surprised how many people do what they could knowing that it's wrong, knowing it's not what they should do because they're wanting to impress somebody. Popularity is a strong idol in a lot of people's lives. When I was in school, I wanted to be popular more than anything. And if you want it that bad, guess what? You'll do about anything to get it. Ask yourself, young people, ask yourself, not just young people, all of us, who are you trying to impress? When you make a choice to do the could category instead of the should, who are you trying to impress? More than likely, if you go the could category, you're trying to impress somebody that don't love your church, they don't love your Jesus, they don't love your family, they don't love your pastor, they don't... Amen, come on now. That's who you're trying to impress. But I want them to like me. Why? You wanting somebody to like you that don't even like your church? I'd tell them right straight up, amen. You don't like my church? You don't like me? You don't like the way my preacher preaches? You're not even getting out of the dugout, much less get up to bat. You're not even going to be on the field. You're not even on the team. Who are you anyway? Amen. You make fun of my mom and daddy and their godliness? Get out of my face. Don't show no sympathy to that outfit. They're an agent sent into your life from the pit, buddy, to destroy you. Say amen right there. God help, amen. That's right. I can take you right now. I can take you right now and I can give you names, but it's not relevant. I could go to North Carolina right now. I could take you to a young lady that went against daddy's advice, multiple other people's advice, went against the pastor's advice, and married this sorry no count heathen, all because of looks and what they thought was love, and their life is a wreck. This supposed Christian all of a sudden is drinking. All of a sudden is putting earrings in their ears. Said the King James Bible is not the Word of God. Are you listening? About kids. Listen, I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I don't have to have a whole lot between my ears to know, my friend, that if you got a godly pastor and a godly parents, and they are all in agreement that relationship is not right, you better believe that is not of God. Because I've said it before, God is on the parent's side. Amen. And God puts not only parents in your life, young people, but also He puts the pastor in your life. And friend, listen, and this is one of my next thoughts here, and I'm about done for y'all, that's about to pass out. When you consider the could and should category, here's something you ought to consider. What does my pastor think about it? Brother Craig, they went directly opposed to the teachings of Paul. Paul was the one that came to town, sacrificed his time, effort, and labor, and came to town to preach to them and win them to God, Brother John, and establish the church of Galatia. He was the one that led them to Christ. He's the one that discipled them, Brother Rob, and taught them. He's the one. And then they let this Yehus come in there and influence them against everything the pastor had told them and the preacher told them. You ought to ask yourself when you come into a could or should situation, you ought to ask yourself, what would my pastor say? Amen? What advice? And I hope that I have such an influence in you young people. I hope that when you face a could and should situation, that it'll be almost like you can hear a preacher rackly in your ear preaching. Don't do it. Don't look at the could over here, it's the should. Amen? What will my pastor think? Amen. If your pastor says to you, it ain't right, it ain't God, and I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not on no throne or nothing, but I believe God put us here as an overseer, my friend, and until I'm just going out of left field from the Word of God, I believe a pastor's opinion ought to mean something. Amen. Amen. You young people ought to be able to say, preacher, what do you think about this? I don't have to meet them. Show me a picture. That usually will cover it. Show me a picture. A picture's worth 1,000 words. Show me a picture. Amen. Let me meet him. Oh, no, preacher. No, I will never get married. Well, that's our objective. Who was it I told this morning? I believe it might have been Miss Candace about Natalie. I believe it might have been. I said, there's Natalie. I said, she's going to be a heartbreaker one of these days. I said, but there's no boy going to be good enough. I went ahead and made that prophecy. I prophesied. I said, we got a bunch of little girls around here. I said, there ain't no boys around here good enough for her. Nod your head like that, little girls. Amen. That's right. Because the preacher and your daddy is going to team up together, and it's going to be bad news. Ain't that right, brother? That's right. Amen. If any of these girls gets married, it'll be a miracle. Amen. There'll have to be a boy come in here with a halo on his head about it. And believe me, there are no such creature. But what do my pastor think? What will he say about it? And I don't have time, but you can go back in chapter 4 of Galatians and verse 13 through 17 and find how they first thought about Paul.
I'm telling you, they thought he was Christ at one point. They was willing, my friend, to give him their eyes. But then he said, what happened? Wherein is that blessedness whereof you spake of? What happened? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Verse 16. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Paul said, you've let people turn you against the preacher. Now listen to this. I'm about done. I've said that a dozen times already. But Jesus might come tonight. This might be the last opportunity I get to preach to you. Amen. So we're trying to get you straight. Get you ready for heaven. Amen. An individual, I'm just going to put it out in general terms, an individual that hurt me, I guess you could say, since I've been in Rogersville, that I personally led to the Lord, led several in their family to the Lord, and they want to talk to me. I said, I'd be glad to. I said, just call me anytime. I said, if they should work it out, I'll be glad to talk with you. My first question I want to ask is, who turned you against the preacher that won you to the Lord, won your wife to the Lord, won your brother-in-law to the Lord, and of several others in their immediate family? Who? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, a preacher that leads me to the Lord, listen, and as long as he's in that book, there's not going to be some long-tongued, discord-spreading gossiper murmuring somebody get on the phone or on my doorstep and turn me against a man that has won me to Christ. Say amen right there. That's right. That don't make good sense. And that's what happened right here in Galatians. Amen. What will my preacher think about it? Here's you one, and I'm done. Here's you one. What will the consequences be? Could I not preach on that? What will the consequences be? If I do the could versus the should, what will be the consequences? And hey, everybody, there will always be consequences. Good or bad, could or the should category, both will produce fruit. Both will produce results and consequences. Before you make the choice of the could or the should, ask yourself, what will the consequences be? You know what, though? That's something that most people never think about. Nobody, I don't believe Eve thought about what the consequences are going to be. I believe all she thought about was, boy, I bet that tastes good. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you, if I eat that, I'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Man, she didn't think about dying. She didn't think about the judgment she is going to bring her and Eve and put her and Adam and put on the human race. Amen. Well, let's all stand on our feet. Could or should.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.